the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
It's Friday in the country that has no government. The machine is broken. Democracy has ceased, and our forefathers are rolling over in their graves. Okay, not our forefathers. Republicans are rolling over, or at least they're on the precipice. Today, on 1520 WBZW and streaming live on News Talk 660 WORL, the American Adversaries will prove to you we won't shut down. Fellow Central Floridians, I'm Blair Adams, here with the calm down pills of truth. Take one at 5 o'clock Sunday through Friday, and your mind will be set at ease. Now for the big dose of reality, my co-host, Christopher Hart.
Okay, that's right, folks. Thank you for being with us this evening on 1520 WBZW. We thank you for coming up the dial here if you're our regular listeners who listen to us on 660 WORL. And if you're normally listening to the other programming, the regular programming on 1520 at this time, we thank you for letting us borrow an hour of your airtime because the Rays are in a playoff game with Boston, which isn't going too well right
that's
now.
That's what I understand.
5-2 in the fifth after a terrible inning with some errors. The Rays are playing. Oh, it is? Are the Rays back in it? Oh.
Yeah.
We just heard it in our ear from Nick LoCicero here. He says that the game's going great because he's a Sox fan. The Rays got their hands full, that's for sure, with the Boston Red Sox. But
later on the program, folks, we are going to be actually giving you Nick's phone number over the air, and you can tell him exactly what you think.
Okay. Remember, Larry, he could shut us off with just a flick of the wrist in there. Okay. Thank you for being with us. We are live. We will be here until 6 o'clock. 407-774-8255 is the number. We certainly welcome you to call us on this beautiful afternoon here in Central Florida.
It's gorgeous.
Fall is here. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be a beautiful fall, I think, for Florida this year.
What a great time to usher in a hurricane.
Yeah, well, not much of a hurricane.
I know.
Today we're going to have Tom Tillison. He's our regular man on Friday. Join us as we talk about the shutdown or whatever you want to call it. And we're also going to talk about an interesting story that he's working on. He just broke today on bizpackreview.com. That's where you can find his work, bizpackreview.com. Great website, great information. A story coming out of Bartow, Florida here. You know, just right up the road here, not too far. Yep. A controversy arising out of some yard signs which say, God bless America. You would think that that would be a great thing to have in your yard. Well, the city doesn't think so. We'll let Tom tell us what that's all about. Nostradamus is going to join us, our executive producer. And we're going to do something a little, I don't know if this has ever been done. I know it hasn't been done on our show, and I have never heard it done before, so that's one reason why we're going to do it. To end the show today, we're going to commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Black Hawk Down incident. 20 years ago yesterday, about showtime, is pretty much when it started, when they reached the first objective, which was to capture some of ID'd warlord's men. Which they did, and it lasted all night long, well into the next day, the 4th of October, 20 years ago. So, for the last couple of minutes as we go out of the show tonight, I'm going to simply read from Colonel Danny McKnight's book, Streets of Mogadishu, so as he recounts some of what happened that evening. And that'll be in remembrance of the 18 men total, the six Army Rangers of Colonel McKnight's the command, and the 70, I believe 78 wounded that from that single incident. And it need not be forgotten.
Nobody talks about the wounded.
Nobody's even talking about it at all. I have not seen one mention of it in the media. I have not seen any in be it print or television.
Even Fox.
Other than our radio show, I haven't heard anybody mention it. And that's disgraceful. So that's the way we're going to end the show tonight. And I hope you'll stay with us for the full hour. We'll start off by once again reminding you folks, please help us feed the children. It's a great organization, and there's always a need for this sort of thing, but we're really kind of highlighting this the last couple of weeks, so please help us out. It's an organization called Feed the Children. You can find out about them at feedthechildren.org, and you can help them out. And this is the best part. For every dollar you give, it turns into $5. $100 is $500 worth of food and because of the donating matching come from larger corporations and the buying power of bulk buying. 866-326-6669, 866-326-6669, or go to WORL.com to help them out. And while you're helping them out, you can listen to us streaming live. That's WORL.com. That's the best part of that. So please help us do that. And don't forget, tonight, right here on 1520 WBZW at 7 o'clock will be Blue Darters football, and they're playing at West Orange tonight. Ought to be an excellent game. It's going to be a beautiful night for football. Roger Franklin Williams and Joe Ferrero will be calling the game for you, and they do a really great job. And don't forget, tomorrow at 7 o'clock, our own Nicholas Cicero here, the Boston Red Sox fan in Tampa Bay Rays land, has got his own show. It's a great show. It's called WDW.
News Today, the radio show.
There you go.
All about Walt Disney World.
There you go.
The Rays just left another couple of runs here.
Oops.
Yeah, you know, Nick, I'm starting to like Universal more and more now. Thank you so much, buddy.
Actually, Nick does a great show. He gets great guests, and he gets a lot of audience participation. So I suggest you listen in. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And keep up the good work in there, Nick.
Thanks.
Okay. And so we'll see, how far this goes with the Rays. Each time, though, we happen to be preempted by the Rays, this is where you'll find us, and you guys know that. Okay. Let's get down to some business. Tom Tillison is going to be joining us in a few minutes, but we do have a couple of minutes, and I just want to go over a couple of things. First of all, this was rich. This is choice. In today's Orlando Sentinel front page, it's an above-the-fold story, but it's not the biggest headline. But the headline is, Health Options Can Overwhelm. Talking about the new Obamacare, which is supposed to make buying health insurance easy. You know, just like, what does Obama say, just like going to kayak or something? You know, Priceline. Oh, no, it ain't, folks. No, it ain't. If you can get through and finally get the information that you think you're after, you're going to find one of two things. You're going to find that you're going to be inundated with choices, and it's going to be difficult for you to discern, you know, which will be the best choice for you. And then when you settle on a choice, get ready.
It's going to cost you money.
They're calling it sticker shock. That's right. And it's until you compare it with what the government's going to give you, and that may be disappointing, you're going to be shocked by how much you are going to pay, in particular if you are a young person.
And keep in mind, too, that when people tell you how evil Republicans are, they're telling you they're evil because they tried to explain this to you from the very beginning.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because that sort of is the persona that the Republicans carry around. They've been carrying it around for a long time, instead about Ronald Reagan. They said it about both Bushes. They said it about Gingrich, right? I mean, Think of any prominent Republican. How about Sarah Palin? Any prominent, and Ted Cruz, any prominent Republican gets hung with the label that they're a dastardly person, you know,
You exactly what's going to happen that
filled
does.
Filled with evil motives. Okay. Here's why I think what's going on right now is so great, having said that. And this kind of goes back to what we were saying the other day, where the Republicans have the least to lose in all of this and the most to gain. Barack Obama, I think, has found out this week that sometimes you need to be careful what you wish for. The one thing I will agree with Michael Medved that he's been saying over and over again, and that is that Barack Obama did want this government shutdown. He's absolutely right about that. Barack Obama wants a fight at every turn, and he's glad to make people hurt in order to get his way. Just look at the sequester. All right, that's an example of how he maximizes the pain.
He sets it up and blames the Republicans.
And look what's going on this time. Same thing. The memorial, the World War II memorial, is the most blatant example of it, but they are trying to maximize pain. The National Health Institute, you know, with the kids and the cancer and all, mm-hmm. they did not have to shut that down. There was already plenty of money already appropriated. It could have stayed open. The president chose to shut it down. He's choosing to maximize the pain, and in doing so, and along with the stupid things Harry Reid's been saying, they are finally revealing themselves, if nothing else, liberals, to be no better than those evil old rascally Republicans. They are, the cover is coming off, the masks are coming off, and if for no other reason, that is a good thing to take away from this. There is no way that they're going to be able to hide those stupid things that Reid said about the kids the other day. There's no way they're going to be able to hide the haughty, you know, self-righteous attitude, the no-negotiation Obama. Okay? These things are very revealing, and all the Republicans need to do is keep the government shut down. Keep the pain going beyond Obama. And what? But they need to also keep passing these individualized appropriations bills that do deal with the pain that is most severe for the people who don't deserve it. And that would be like the Veterans Affairs. That would be like the National Institutes of Health. That would be like the Park Services. These things can be done.
The kids with cancer.
And I think if the Republicans keep doing that and keep the pressure on, eventually the Democrats are going to have to succumb to that. Because we've already seen a taste of the questioning that Harry Reid and others will get the longer this prolongs. And there are others out there who are beginning to see that the longer this goes, the better it's going to be for Republicans. Okay. And the longer you hang around, folks, the better it's going to be for you. But you don't have to hang around long. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
And you should too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my two-day booty.
And we are bad. We are the American Adversaries. Lair Adams here with my co-host Christopher Hart, and we have our third wheel for today's three-legged chair. On the line with us right now, folks, we have
third
our good friend.
Wheel for a three-legged chair.
Yeah. I mixed up several different metaphors there to see if you'd catch me.
All right.
Anyway, we've got our good buddy Tom Tillerson on the line right now. And, Tom, I'm so glad to hear you haven't cut your wrist over the government shutting down. Are you still alive? Have you eaten lately?
Well, you know, I was expecting the worst. I knew when they got the sequestration wrong, I said, well, this time they've got to be right. They've got to get it right this time. And I braced for the absolute worst. And I'm sure it's still coming, but I just haven't quite felt it yet.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, come on, give it to me now. Come on.
All I know is I ran out.
Give me the pain.
I ran out and stocked up on Angel Soft, you know, so I didn't want to be left, you know, wanting. So.
Without toilet paper. Chris, no, that's Angel Dust, not Angel Soft.
Tom, in all seriousness, after the first week or so, what do you think?
Well, I think it's gone surprisingly well for the Republicans, especially considering they don't appear to have an end game here.
Yeah.
Beyond that, though, I think the surprise here is that the Democrats are simply dumbfounded that the Republicans have actually stuck to their guns. They just don't know how to react to that.
Yeah, they're not used to it, and obviously if a number of Republicans had their way, it would have been business as usual. I think that the catalyst in all this has been Ted Cruz. As you said, the Republicans don't have an end game, but he does have a goal, and that goal is to fight for the people like out here like us. And for right now, that seems to be enough of an end game.
Well, the one thing that they have accomplished, and this is entirely because of Ted Cruz, is that the nation is now talking about Obamacare, and they're talking about what's wrong with Obamacare. And, again, that would not have happened without Ted Cruz.
I think the timing of all this is almost divine. I mean, here with the, you know, the budget running out.
I think it's calculated.
The budget running out, and then you have the debt ceiling and Obamacare kicking in all at the same time. It was the perfect timing for Ted Cruz to do what he did.
Well, and you know, what is adding to the advantage for the Republican Party is just the mean-spirited pettiness of Barack Obama. We saw what happened with the World War II Memorial. You know, I did a story this morning where yesterday, on his Twitter account, at Barack Obama, they were almost celebrating the fact that the Statue of Liberty was shut down and blaming it on Tea Party extremists. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't know who's advising you guys to think that this is a good strategy, but it's not working with the American people.
No, and when you made his statement, Tom, about I will not negotiate. I mean, what can any reasonable person try to get out of that? Is he trying to show he's tough, which everybody knows he's not?
Well, I saw a great headline today that said Barack Obama cancels Asian trip to not negotiate.
You know, I saw when I heard that he canceled that trip, I thought to myself, finally, we've found a way to cut back on this dude's travel expenses. You know, just have to shut down the whole government to do it. But at least, you know, in this instance, that sort of thing worked. You know, Tom, I think you're absolutely right. The pettiness that's been demonstrated by Barack Obama, Harry Reid, because of the National Institute of Health thing. This has all been very eye-opening and revealing, if you will, this week in a way that the Democrats weren't expecting it to be. In other words, that they have found themselves being seen as being acting petty and such.
Yeah, but is the average American seeing this, Tom?
Well, and that's a good point to bring up, because I think that's what's dumbfounding the Democrats so much, is the fact that the media has almost overwhelmingly, almost 100%, have pinned this on the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And they knew going into this, the Democrats, they knew the media would be on their side, that they were fully confident that the polls would favor them, and they still show them, you know, the polls still show that most folks blame Republicans, but the split is a lot closer than anyone ever anticipated. And it's because the media, even though the media is in on this with the Democrat Party, it's just not affecting or cutting through this pettiness that the people are seeing.
Absolutely. You are absolutely right. And that is one thing, you know, we've been extolling the Republicans from here to say, you know, don't worry about, you know, the poll numbers and what the media is going to say about you. Just worry about doing the right thing and everything else will fall into place.
Well Chris, where were those pollsters in the last election that gave us the wrong information?
Well, but
they're the same people. The pollsters can get it just as wrong.
Well, but I believe in this instance the poll is right, don't you, Tom?
Well, you know, that's a good point. You know, we always like the polls that favor our position, and we trash the polls that don't favor our position. But I don't know. I think the sentiment would say that the polls are right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, where's the outrage? Where is the outrage over the government being shut down? Other than Democrats and in Washington, D.C., where is the outrage? It's just not out there. I'm sorry.
That's exactly what I said. I said, you know, if we're not for the media screaming from the rafters, I think the majority of the American people would not have a clue that government has already shut down.
I think you're absolutely right. And I said the other day that the longer this goes, the more nervous the Democrats are going to be, because it is not only is it revealing how petty that they are, that they're just as bad as the Republicans, if you want to put it from their perspective, but it is also revealing that there is this huge bloated government out there that we could whittle a whole lot of it away from and nobody would notice the difference.
Well, you know what? I think the Republican Party needs to find a solution before the American people start really feeling the effects of government being shut down. So they, you know, their window of opportunity is closing. They need to somehow find a solution and fund government and move on. I think they've already won this battle. As long as they can find a way to you know, to bring it to an end.
Okay, well, I don't think that's going to happen too soon, but let's go before we go to the break. I want to go to Matt, a phone caller, so he doesn't have to hold through the break. But I'll ask you to hold through the break, Tom, because I've got another story I want to talk about with you. But let's go to Matt now. Thank you, Matt, for calling.
Thank you, Chris. Hey, listen, I think there's something that's really great about what Ted Cruz did, and that is he demonstrated what Republicans need to be doing all the time. If Republicans do not get out and explain what they believe, why they believe it, and what they're going to do about it, they will let Democrats forever shape the terrain of national conversation. And I think that's why I get irritated with Michael Medved, who is all about hiding in the cave and calculating the next move rather than flourishing the brand of conservatism that all of us want to see perpetuated.
Hear, hear.
All right.
Okay, thank you, Matt. I appreciate your call. And he's got a good point, doesn't he, Tom?
Absolutely, because the Democrats seem to always control the narrative on every issue, and now we have somebody on the right, somebody in the Republican Party, being Ted Cruz, who can stand up, who can articulate his position in a clear manner that the people relate to, and more importantly, the Democrats can't counter it.
And we're certainly talking about the subject matter that he wants to talk about right now, and by that I mean Ted Cruz. Okay, folks, and we got a lot more talking to do when we come right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by Roxy Pacifics. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. Roxy Pacifics is an all-natural kelp and vitamin-based antibacterial and anti-inflammatory. It is totally safe for kids, pets, and yourself. Do yourself a favor, RoxyPacifics.net. Now here's Christopher Hart with Ted Boger of SoundbiteRx.com.
Ted, the scandals just keep going on in spite of the government being shut down. The NSA, turns out the monitoring that they were doing involved a whole lot more than just tracking phone numbers. What's the scoop?
Chris, that's true. The New York Times is actually reporting this, that the government or the NSA has created a very sophisticated set of graphs about American social connections, including their associates, their locations, GPS, emails, Facebook. This has gone much, much deeper, and we're finally getting into the bottom of exactly how much they've been tracking about the United States citizens.
You're telling me that they can tap into a GPS system and, for instance, know where somebody's been traveling in their automobile?
Absolutely. That is what the report is saying, and honestly, Chris, the further we get into it, it's not just GPS. It's voter registration, passenger manifest, all of your Facebook profiles, bank codes, insurance information. They're tracking everything. It's not just limited to a few cell phone calls, which is the outrage at the beginning. This is very large scale.
They want to know your voting registration. What in the world could that have to do with tracking terrorists?
Well, I'm not sure it has anything to do with tracking terrorists. I actually think it has a lot to do with politics, as we saw with the IRS cases that are going on right now and the targets that they did. I honestly believe that this has a huge political agenda, as everything does with this administration.
Unfortunately, I guess we'll probably never know really how good they are at tracking terrorists, but we're beginning to know more and more how good they are at tracking American citizens.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ted. Okay, folks, remember, please take the cure for ignorance and go to soundbiterx.com, and we'll be right back.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to the American Adversaries on 660 WORL, if you can take it.
And, of course, tonight we are on 1520 WBZW, thanks to the Rays baseball game. But we're always on 660WORL.com. I am Christopher Hart, along with Lair Adams.
Right here.
The phone number is 407-774-8255. Nostra Dennis will join us momentarily. But right now we have Tom Tillison of BizPackReview.com. That's where you'll find his work, BizPackReview.com, on the air with us. Tom, did you have any other thoughts on the shutdown before we move forward?
Well, I think we've covered a lot of it. It's just going to, again, come down to a matter of timing. Will the Republicans develop an end game? Will they come up with a solution in time? I think right now they've gained the upper hand. The question is, will they maintain it?
Yeah, well, my feeling is I think their strategy should be to continue to pass these individualized bills and keep the heat on. In other words, if the Democrats don't want to go along with it, just keep doing that for the next couple of weeks until it comes time to adjust the debt limit. And then that's when I would, if I were them, I would do something with the debt limit. However, I wouldn't raise it more than, say, $500 or $700 billion, frankly, so this fight can be fought again next year, right in the middle of an election season. And because these issues should be first and foremost in the voters' minds. And they have the ability to set that agenda right now. And I think that a lot of what's going on right now not only affects, obviously, the budget and all that, but it should also be setting the stage for next year, which it is, whether they intend that or not.
Well, you know, the thing that everybody is forgetting is, why are we here to begin with? We're here because Congress has not passed a budget. President Barack Obama has not, you know, submitted a budget that can make it through Congress. Because they're not able to pass a budget like any normal functioning government would,
yeah,
we are funding ourselves through these continuing resolutions, and that's why we're here to begin with. And that's the story I think that's really being missed here.
You got a good point there. Let's bring in Nostradamus now and get his thoughts on this. Nostradamus, how are things at headquarters today? What's the score? Is it still 7-2?
Yeah, it's awful. They took a 2-0 lead early, but Boston's just been battering around. First Moore and now Chris Archer.
Well, that's why Nixon.
Rough time.
That's why Nixon there dancing a jig. He's having the time of his life watching this.
You know what just appeared over Fenway Park? A rainbow. You know, everyone who's a Red Sox fan is looking at that as good luck.
All right. A pot of gold for the Sox. Okay. Dennis, you were telling me that there's a poll out that indicates what Tom was talking about earlier, that this isn't faring so well for the Democrats, at least not as well as they might have expected.
It's really not. This is a Fox News poll taken when the shutdown first started, the partial shutdown. And they were given choices. Who do you blame for the shutdown? Republican leaders such as John Boehner, President Obama, Tea Party Republicans such as Ted Cruz, or Democratic leaders such as Harry Reid? Boehner gets the most blame at 25%. Obama's right behind him at 24%. Ted Cruz and his Tea Party cohorts are at 17%, and they only blame Harry Reid 8% for this government shutdown.
I'd be interested to hear how his numbers would look right now. There was something also interesting that happened. It was a couple of days ago, and it may not be significant, but an open mic incident.
Yeah, that was involving Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell. Rand Paul had just come off of an interview with CNN, and McConnell was getting ready to go on with an interview with another network. And a Kentucky TV station caught them off mic, kind of doing a little ad hoc strategizing on the fly. So Paul is seen on camera saying to McConnell, "I just did CNN, and I just go over and over again. We're willing to compromise. We're willing to negotiate. I don't think they, the Democrats, poll tested, we won't negotiate. I think it's awful for them to say that over and over." Now, McConnell agreed with that. He said, yeah, I do too. I just came back from that two-hour meeting with them, the famous meeting with all the leaders in Obama's office. And that was basically the same view, he says, privately as it was publicly among the Democrats.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Boehner gave a news conference this morning where he said that the president told him about 20 different ways why he would not negotiate. Your thoughts on all those things, Tom?
Well, as you said earlier, Chris, you know, that's hurting the Democrat Party. This whole concept of saying we will not negotiate, and I guess Rand Paul has it right that they didn't poll test that, because that's hurting them. That's making them look like the extremists, the ones who are unwilling to budge. And I think we're going to see that. My guess is they're scrambling right now to figure out, how do we compromise without making it look like we've caved in?
That's what I think. I've thought all along that the Republicans are the ones who have the most leverage here, if only they were willing to use it, and that they could put the Democrats on in a position that the Democrats aren't used to. And I didn't know that we'd be getting the gifts of no negotiate and who cares about the kids and stuff like that. But I guess those are predictable, you know, when you think of the kind of people that we're dealing with here. But I've always thought the Republicans had the leverage if only they had the intent to use it. And lo and behold, you know, they've just sort of stumbled into using it. But look at the gains that they've already gotten.
Well, I think the World War II memorial sort of galvanized this whole thing because when they tried to shut that down and block these World War II veterans in wheelchairs, a lot of them.
Honor flights.
Memorial.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a public relations disaster.
Absolutely right. And as you say, the tweets where they basically, you know, were bragging about doing it. Nostradamus, I know that was some of the Dream Flight guys. Any other further on that memorial?
Yes, we now know that it cost the government more to put up those barricades and shut down that monument than it would have to keep it open. And so if you follow this logic to its extreme, you go to our Facebook page, American Adversaries, and you see what's being done in South Dakota. Not really, but it's a picture of helicopters with a huge banner suspended over the faces on Mount Rushmore. It's going to stay that way for the entire shutdown.
Well, it just goes to show, it's kind of like when they shut down the White House because of the sequester, when that was really unnecessary, that they are just going to extraordinary lengths to inconvenience people. And it's okay when it's not so obvious, but the problem for the Democrats now is it's so obvious for everybody to see, Tom.
Well, you know, I think most people are, most reasonable Americans are looking to Barack Obama to show leadership, and what they are seeing is that he is, without a doubt, the most polarizing president that we have ever seen in this country.
You're absolutely right, and I think that they are going to be sick and tired of this, and it's going to be a huge opportunity the Republicans can take advantage of next year, and I believe also in 2016. Once again, this goes all the way back to when we first started the show, and I said I'd kiss the man on the lips if he were standing here in the studio. It's because of things like this. He is pushing so hard to the left that he's going to end up pushing a lot of people back to the right.
Well, Chris, I had mentioned just a few days ago, and I think you're seeing a little bit of it, I think the Republicans are setting traps, and that's what you need to do sometimes in politics, and I think some of the Democrats are falling into those traps.
I don't know if they're actually...
So if they chew their arms or legs off to get out of them, too, that'll be fine.
Well, if you could set a trap not on purpose, I'd agree, but do you think the Republicans have been that smart, Tom?
Well, you know what? I was going to say, you know, to wrap this up, the real lesson in all this is the Republican Party needs to turn to Ted Cruz and look to Ted Cruz a little bit more, but to have these establishment Republicans set aside, you know, this stubborn pride that they have and realize that they've got a foxy guy here, somebody that can outsmart the left, and they need to use him and depend on him and rely on him.
He's too dangerous.
Amen to that.
He's a danger to them.
Okay.
Tom, I got a question for you.
Okay, go ahead, Dennis, and then I want to go to this story about signs in Bartow.
Do you believe that mainstream Republican leadership, and I'm talking all over the country, and specifically here in Central Florida, are willing to shine the spotlight on their Tea Party members, or do they want the power they can keep more than they want the right thing to do for the American people?
Absolutely not. They'll run it into a cliff before they do that.
You know, I think you're absolutely right, but I think more and more they may become less and less relevant. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Tom. Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, over time, you're absolutely right. They're going to realize how irrelevant they actually are.
That's right. I think Ted Cruz may have started a little wave that may turn into a big wave. Tom, before we let you go, you're working on a story. You just broke it today in bizpackreview.com about the city of Bartow doesn't want signs in people's yards that say God bless America. That can't be right, can it?
Well, I won't say I broke the story, but however, you know, the folks, the city government in Bartow decided it was a good idea to tell these residents that they could not place these yard signs in their yards that say God bless America. And they've got a picture of the American flag and a cross on the sign. It's a standard, you know, campaign-style yard sign. They were passed out by the First Baptist Church of Bartow back in July, and these residents have had them in their yards since then. And now, all of a sudden, the city of Bartow has decided these signs are violating city code, and they have to be removed. And it is causing a little bit of a firestorm. They have a city council meeting coming up on Monday, which should be interesting because a lot of folks are going to turn out and basically, you know, demand the right to put these signs or keep these signs in their yard.
I mean, that in Bartow, Florida, I mean, I can understand maybe San Francisco, but Bartow, Florida, come on, Tom. That's like it should have been in the heart of conservative Bible Belt.
Yeah, but, Tom, I got to tell you, this is the perfect opportunity for these people to get rid of these bums on the city council. That's what these people have to realize. When you make laws like this, we're going to get rid of you.
Well, you know, unfortunately, guys, most cities have ordinances very similar to this. It's just a question of whether or not or how far they're willing to go to enforce them. If you look at Orlando, I wouldn't be surprised if they have very similar ordinances. And at the end of the day, it makes you think, you know, they call America the land of the free, but how free really are we?
I know, you know, you hate to go to the certain extents, but things like this remind me of that guy who used to live over there in Winter Park. You remember?
With the house that had all the trash in the yard?
Well, no, I think he had an American flag too big or something like that.
Oh, well, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, you know, makes you want to stand up and put a sign in your yard.
Well, Tom, you did lose a freedom this week. You are now, for the first time in history, going to be forced by the federal government to buy an item, a product.
Have you tried to go buy, get on one of the exchanges, Tom?
You know, I haven't, but I've been following the story of this guy, Chris Henderson, I believe his name is, where the media celebrated the guy who said that he went online, he was able to sign up, he got a great plan, how happy he is, and it was all over the media. Everybody, they called this guy a celebrity because he was interviewed by all the major networks. Well, it turns out he was lying. He never signed up. And, you know, it's just become I can't use the word I want to use here, but it's just.
I think I know the word you're searching for.
Well, that's the way the mass media is today, Tom. They don't care about the truth.
Well, I think he's talking about Obamacare itself. What a screw up it is. Is that what you're sort of angling towards, Tom?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tom, don't say that phone number. Whatever you do, don't say that phone number.
Yeah. Before he goes, let's let Tom in case he hasn't heard about. Had you heard this one? Go ahead, Dr. Dennis. Tell us about that.
Okay, as it turns out, Matt Drudge uncovered this, but a couple of other people did as well. There's a toll-free phone number you can call to get information about the Affordable Care Act. And let's just say, with the number one inserted in the middle of it, if you spell out the numbers with letters, it spells out a nasty phrase that begins with an F.
And ends with U.
Well, no,
as in Y-O.
Only six letters. They don't care about the U at the end.
Yeah, it's Y-O and the U is left off, and you can figure out the rest of that. You heard about that, Tom?
Well, you know, I did hear about that, and Nostradamus makes a good point. You know, they don't care about the U, which makes you think, is this why they did this, or is this just another sign of the overall incompetence of this administration?
It's hard to figure, isn't it, Tom?
Spent nearly a half a billion dollars to try to get this software up, and from what I understand, the software companies, the big ones, have said you had to spend five times that for this kind of a job, and you see what happens when government cheaps out.
All they needed to do was get a bunch of 12-year-old nerds, and they'd have been all right. Tom, don't feel bad. You're not the only one that hasn't bought into this. As it turns out, hardly anybody is. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, the Washington Post. And now, just for those who don't know, the Washington Times is the conservative of the two.
Not the Post.
The Post is generally a left-leaning newspaper. The Washington Post put out a story today that said, you know, we're looking for people who've signed up for Obamacare. If you have, please give us a call. Please send us an email. We'd really like to know. It turns out hardly anyone has yet been able to get through. and sign up for a plan.
We got there's a tip in our tip sheet that says no one from Kansas, the whole state of Kansas signed up.
Louisiana, same thing. No one in the state of Louisiana as of Thursday morning had signed up for the plan.
So don't feel so all alone out there, Tom.
Well, you know, guys, the website was not ready. Many of these exchanges were not ready.
Yeah.
It just shows you, and these are the people that are going to manage our health care. It shows you how big of a problem America is going to have.
Six or seven departments.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, guys, before I let you two guys go, I just got this from one of our listeners, Marshall. He emailed me. He says the government has barricaded the National Mall today. Had you guys heard anything about that?
Did not, no. They probably took the barricades that they took from the World War II Memorial.
Yeah. Tom?
I didn't hear that, but I did hear a story just as I was coming on the air of somebody set themselves on fire on the National Mall.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, wow. It's getting more and more bizarre up there in Washington, D.C.
Guys, with the National Mall closed, how are the politicians going to be able to buy anything?
Yeah, really?
Yeah, they got to do their shopping, too.
All right. Hey, Tom, any last words before we let you go for the weekend?
No, I think we've covered it all, but I appreciate you having me on.
We appreciate you, sir.
And great job, buddy.
Don't forget, folks, that's Tom Tillison, and you can find his work at bizpackreview.com, where you can also buy some of that other guy's tea. Okay, thank you, Tom Tillison. Nostradamus, any last stories before we let you go?
Yes, Sunday night, you got to tune into our three-hour tour. You know who we're getting on?
Tell us.
The gorgeous ladies of wrestling.
Ooh.
Patricia Summerlin. Sunny, the California girl, going to be with us.
Oh, that's going to be great.
In studio or on the line?
She's going to be on the phone, and in fact, we're also going to get to check in with Danny McKnight.
Yeah, that's right. He'll be actually, I believe, heading home Sunday night, won't he, from the reunion in Dallas?
Sure will. Hopefully he'll have some barbecue stirring.
But wait. The lady wrestlers won't be in studio, Dennis?
Sorry, she's in California. What can I say?
What kind of a job is that, buddy?
Hey, you're not going to be here Sunday night anyway.
You're right. Yes, I got it.
Blair's going to be out of town Sunday, yeah. So he would have missed. Maybe you're going to be on the other end with Summer.
I'll fly there.
Okay, great job, Master Dennis. We appreciate you.
See ya.
Okay. All right, folks. When we come back from the break, I'm going to be reading from the streets of Mogadishu, the book written by Colonel Danny McKnight. As we told you earlier in the show, today is the 20th anniversary of the second day of the incident we now know as Black Hawk Down, started on October 3rd. 1993, ended October 4th, 1993. So in tribute to those men who died and were wounded and those who survived, we're going to read some of Danny McKnight's account.
And folks, Chris and I were talking during the break about the fact that you don't hear a lot of people talking about this anniversary. We as Americans need to celebrate this. Not celebrate, but we need to recognize.
Remember
what these people have done. It was a very important event at the time, and these men gave their lives, and several were wounded. We'll be right back.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. And in remembrance of the 18 men who died in the incident we now know as Black Hawk Down, and the 78 who were wounded, I now read an account of what happened that night, part of what happened that night, from a book named Streets of Mogadishu, which you can get at DannyMcKnight.com. You'll hear me refer to something known as Super 6-2 and Super 6-4. Those are the Black Hawk helicopters involved. The Super 6-2 personnel had observed the RPG hit Super 6-4 and watched as it crashed. They had continued to observe and provide fire support from their orbit overhead as the situation at the crash site had become increasingly desperate. Because it seemed unlikely that any of the rescue convoys were going to get there in time, the personnel on Super 6-2 felt compelled to take immediate action themselves. Clearly, there was an urgent need to get somebody on the ground to provide security and medical attention for Durant and his crew. The Somali crowds were growing rapidly and moving closer and closer to the Super 6-4 crash site. Without immediate assistance, the crew would be overrun and Durant and his crew would certainly be captured or killed. Gordon and Shugart felt they could do more if on the ground than in the air and could provide medical assistance to any of the injured crew. The other Delta operator, Hollings, would remain on Super 6-2 because he had assumed one of the gun positions when the crew chief was wounded. Hollings later lost his leg after getting hit by an RPG while manning the gun. This plan, however, was rejected by their commanders. they asked again to be put on the ground to help their fellow soldiers. And after some serious discussion, they were given the green light to go in and assist Super 6-4 personnel. These two extraordinary men knew the dire situation that confronted them, but felt they could handle the situation until more help arrived. The pilots of Super 6-2, Gofa and Yacon, put them down in a somewhat open area about 50 to 75 meters away. Gordon and Shugart made it to the crash site with little difficulty and immediately began taking care of the crew. They started with its pilot, Michael Durant, by moving him from the aircraft to a small covered area behind the crash site. The two Delta operators returned to the aircraft to help others and found the Somalis attacking from all directions. Gary and Randy were now totally committed to a battle of survival as the Somalis came from everywhere and in overwhelming numbers. After a fierce but relatively short fight, the Somalis gained an advantage and overran the Super 6-4 crash site. These two heroes gave their lives while trying to save the lives of their fellow comrades. Unfortunately, the only one to survive was Mike Durant, who was taken prisoner by Adid's men. To say the actions of Gary Gordon and Randy Shugart were extraordinarily valorous would be an absolute understatement. These actions are the essence of what is truly meant by the words, "I will never leave a fallen comrade to fall into the hands of the enemy." During the time efforts were being focused on the situation at the Super 6-4 crash site, the main convoy had been making its way toward the airfield compound. The convoy's movement was slow and deliberate, and that most vehicles were significantly damaged and barely running. Some Humvees were moving on two or three flat tires.
News Talk 660 WORL. Altamont Springs, Orlando. 660 WORL.com. Division of Salem Communications. On the NASDAQ as SA.